Mix in the Dark. Hey, what's up? It's Mayang from Mix in the Dark. I had a lot of great feedback on the last episode, and great minds think alike. I too sometimes feel like I need a break from the very scary stories, so I turn to lighter ones. And I guess we're going to continue this set of stories that has to do with Hmong folktales. I've also been alone at night a lot these days, and so I am going to just stay away from scary stories for a bit. I was inspired by Hmong bedtime story while I was trying to piece together what I understand about Hmong cannibals and the events that surround it. He actually has a lot of different versions of this story. If you don't know Hmong bedtime story, he is so good, but unfortunately he only tells stories in Hmong and he uses very formal terms. So if you are not really familiar with Hmong words or you understand more conversational Hmong, then it might be hard to understand. Either way, I still think the Hmong version is way better than how I am telling it. So if you haven't checked him out, please do so. I'll leave his link in the details. Okay, so back to this cannibal thing. Don't get me wrong, were there actually Hmong cannibals in the past? My short answer is, I don't know. Remember, this is just a folktale passed down by the Hmong elders. There's even different versions of it. I've heard lots of different versions, and I think this version is the one that I like the most. I have no idea if this is true or not, nor do I know if it is based on true events, so I'm purely telling this story for fun. I'm also telling this story because I know that there are a lot of youngsters who do not speak Hmong, they don't understand Hmong, but they really love hearing these types of stories, and so it's for them. And I am hoping that other people also listen to it. And remember, this is just for fun. It's just me telling a story. Do I know if it's true or not? No, I don't know. But you know what? I'm most likely going to get backlash for this because I don't know. It's kind of whenever you talk about cannibals and you talk about someone being cannibals, it's always kind of an iffy thought. And so I don't mean any harm at all. And, you know, let's try it. And so here is a story about cannibals. Enjoy, I hope. This story takes place a very long time ago in an old village in Tua Chote. This area had multiple Hmong villages a few miles from each other. One of the villages had Hmong people who mainly spoke the Hmong white dialect, and Hmong we call them Hmong De. There was another village just a few miles away that had a small population of about 30 people. These people spoke Hmong green dialect, and Hmong we call them Hmong Jua. Hmong white and Hmong green are very similar to each other in terms of our culture and beliefs. The main difference is that we have different dialects, meaning we have different pronunciations, vocabulary, and grammar of certain words or phrases. For storytelling purposes, we will call the area where Hmong white people live the white village, and the area where the Hmong green lives the green village. During that time, folks loved raising horses. Horses were used for carrying loads, traveling, and trading. The Hmong took really great care of their horses and treated them as if they were family because of how valuable they were. When a horse becomes too old or sick, it was hard for the Hmong to keep the horses around because that would mean they'd have to take care of a weak horse and lose resources doing so. It was also difficult for them to kill the horse since they loved them so much. One thing that the white village folks would do is take their weak horses to its neighboring village, the Green Village, and they would sell it to the people there. In the Green Village, the people were known to be very resourceful and believed in using their resources to its end. Because they were poor, they did not leave anything behind to waste. When they buy a weak horse, it is usually cheaper than other types of animals. What they would then do is butcher the horse and share the meat with their village as if they were any other animal meat. One day, there were two villagers from the White Village looking to sell their old horse to the Green Village. When they happened upon the Green Village, they saw an elderly couple struggling to carry some type of meat in their bamboo woven basket. The old woman was covering the meat in the basket with some sort of bamboo leaves, probably to keep the flies from hovering. She then helped the old man lift the basket to be put on his back. The two men asked the elderly couple what they were carrying and if they needed help. The couple replied casually that they were carrying the meat of humans. They explained that there were a few people in the village who were old and frail, so they decided to kill them and distribute its meat to the villagers. They needed to chop the humans before they died so that their meat would taste better in soups. Upon hearing this, the two men were very disturbed and terrified of the villagers in the Mongreen village. They made short conversations with their elderly couple, lied that they were just passing through for business so that they could end the conversation. Still, the two were curious. They wondered if the Green Village was actually eating humans and what desperate conditions they were in for them to eat humans. Still not quite convinced, the two went through the village to see with their own eyes. They happened upon this ragged hut. Its door was open. They pretended to shout, "Hello, is anyone home? We're here to sell fabric. Is anyone home?" A middle-aged man came out of the hut. His hands were covered in blood. He was still holding a huge chopping knife. He greeted the two men and explained that if they were in town to trade, then the village was a bit busy because they had just killed 3 sick humans to distribute and eat. They were busy chopping the meat and that the two men will have to pass them and try next time. After the two men made it back to their village, they told their village what they had come across. Word spread across that small area of the country that the Mongreen were cannibals and for people to be extra careful when passing their village. People were disgusted and disturbed at the Mongreen village's custom to kill the old and weak and use them as food just because they did not want to waste their resources. In Mong, these people were called Mongzhuo Nanning, or Mongreen cannibals. Years have passed since this incident. One day, a man named Du Zhong came to the White Village to court with the ladies. It wasn't long before he fell in love with a local woman named Xing. They talked for a few weeks in secrecy before finally setting a time to get married. Back then, when you wanted to get married, you would sneak the girl out of the house to go to your home and send representatives to the girl's parents to notify them that their daughter has agreed to go marry their son. Upon meeting Xing's parents, her family finds out that Du Zhong was from the infamous Mongreen cannibal village. For hours, Xing's parents tried to revert the deed of marrying Du Zhong because they did not want any dirty blood in the family and were uncomfortable with the idea of having a cannibal son-in-law. They were afraid that the village would talk and shun their family. After what seemed like years of reasoning with each other, with no success on either side, Xing's parents decided to make amends. They would let their daughter marry a man from the Mongreen cannibal village, but with the condition that he must leave his village to live with them instead. They wanted to monitor Du Zhong and make sure that he did not have any plans to kill and eat their daughter if she ever grew weak. In the Hmong culture, when a couple decides to get married, usually the bride moves in to live with the groom's family. It would be embarrassing for the groom to live with his wife's family. The message was relayed to Du Zhong's family. His parents weren't fond of the idea, but Du Zhong decided to put away his pride and agreed to the terms. It had already been years since getting married. Xing and Du Zhong had 3 healthy boys total. Their oldest was 7 years, their middle son was 3 years, and their youngest son was 2 years old. They lived a normal, simple life except for the occasional bullying from the village kids. Their son were often bullied and called dirty blood cannibals, all because their father was a man from the Green Village of Cannibals. The boys were unliked by the village, and they never knew why. They had never eaten human meat before and wondered why kids would call them cannibals. One year, Du Zhong fell ill. He was concerned that he would not live for much longer and that Xing's parents would not be able to carry out his funeral since he was technically not part of their family. He thought that it would be best for him to take his family to live in his village until he passes so that his family could take care of his body. Xing and Du Zhong argued for days before she finally agreed with the move. She agreed only because she valued her boys meeting his family in case anything were to happen to Du Zhong. Her mom cried in fear that her daughter and her grandsons would be eaten by the cannibals from the Green Village. She whispered to her daughter that if Du Zhong really does become weak and unable to come back from his illness, that she should take her boys back to live with them. They were willing to accept her and help raise her kids. Shang nodded, agreeing. Soon, they set off for the Green Village. That night, Du Zhong's parents prepared a meal for them as a way to welcome them to their home. Everything seemed normal until Shang took a bite of the meat boiled with greens. Shang made a face. It tasted very different from what she was used to in her village, so she asked them what kind of meat was in the soup. She heard what she feared the most. They replied that it was human meat from an older person who wasn't doing so well. Because this person was sick, they had to kill them to eat in an attempt to not waste any of its meat. Shang screamed in disgust. She spat and threw up her food. She was furious that Du Zhong's family would feed her family human meat when they knew that Shang's family was not from the Green Village. Shang decided to end her dinner there. Scared that her kids would go hungry, she quietly allowed them to eat without telling them the contents for weeks. Little did she know, her eldest was pretty mature for his age and heard everything that was said at the table. He quietly abided his dad's words to just keep eating and to ignore his mom's reaction to the food. For weeks, he listened to conversations during mealtimes about the family killing the weak humans at the farm for food. He listened to his mom complain about the human meat being consumed. He watched his dad's family eat the meat and feed his dad the broth of the soup. While his dad grew weaker and weaker, this became the normal. One day, Du Zhong told Shang to take the children to go back to her village. He knew that it wasn't long until he would pass and that he did not want his children to see him die and that the village would take his body to perform passing rituals on it. It would be too scary for his boys and he did not want them to see any of it. Shang agreed and left Du Zhong behind so his family could tend to him and finally take care of his weak body. For the next few weeks, Shang would be widowed, living with her parents in the White Village. Because of all the traveling and moving, Shang's youngest son became sick. One day, she asked her oldest to take care of their sick younger brother while she was at the garden and to prepare dinner for when she comes back. Shang went early in the morning to tend to the garden. It wasn't until dinner time when she finally headed home. When she returned, she noticed blood splatters in the outdoor porch area. Moving in closer, she saw something strange sitting next to the door. It was small, round, and hairy. As she got closer, the suspense built with her wondering what it was. She suddenly had this deep gut feeling that something was wrong. Something was awfully wrong. When she got to the hairy ball, she squatted down to lift it up. It was surprisingly pretty heavy. She turned the hairy ball to observe what it was, and when she realized what she was holding, she screamed. She was holding the bloody head of her youngest son. Shang screamed and cried, thinking that her sons were in danger. When she entered, she saw her oldest son. He had a knife in hand. Blood dripped from his elbows as he looked up smiling at Shang, proud that he was able to make some dinner for his mom. He confidently held the little arm belonging to his youngest brother and began chopping away at the fingers. Shang screamed in horror, asking her oldest what he was doing. The oldest son froze in shock and confusion. He explained that his brother was sick and she had told him to get dinner ready, and so that's what he was doing. For days, Shang cried. She did not want the villagers to continue bullying her sons, so she quietly buried her youngest and lied that he had passed due to sickness. Her mind couldn't process her thoughts. She was angry at her oldest, but knew that it was not his fault. They had been around cannibals for just a few weeks, and during that time, it had been normal for her son to see the family eating human meat. It had been normal to cook and to chop the meat of sick and weak humans. Shang felt that it was her fault for not intruding on all those times when human meat was on the table, but it was because she could not watch her children go hungry. Faced with this dilemma, Shang quickly fell into depression. She wasn't eating, she wasn't sleeping, she barely woke up to do chores. Her oldest son continued to wonder what he did wrong and why his mom was so disgusted in his actions. Shank's parents were concerned for her health, but they knew her heart was cut so deep from her loss that they weren't sure if it could be fixed. One day, Shank made a decision to send her oldest son back to his dad's home village, the Green Village. She made up her mind that she felt more hatred than love toward her oldest, and that it would be best for him to go live with his cannibal parents in the Green Village. Shang felt that this is where her oldest son belonged and where he would feel most normal. Shang reached Du Zhong's parents' house with her eldest son. She didn't even bother to go inside of the house. She just left him there and hoped that they'll adjust to the change that was going to come to their household. Du Zhong's parents welcomed the son in. They patted his head, telling him that it was going to be okay and scolding his mom for leaving him and not loving him fully. Then they asked what he did for his mom to be so upset with him. The son told his grandparents the situation. The grandparents gasped in shock. They asked him, "Why would you do that to your brother?" The son replied, "I thought it was okay to do because you all kill people to eat too when they are sick and unwell. Why does my mom hate me so much when you do the same?" The grandparents were wide-eyed. With stern looks, they asked the son, "What do you mean we kill people? We have never killed people before." The son described the few incidents when they ate sick humans for dinner. He said, "But I heard you all talking about killing humans to eat." The grandparents listened to the boy a few times, and then they realized what was going on. "Son," they began, "when Hmong Green people say Ning, it means horse. When we say Thua Ning, it means human. Your dad didn't teach you Hmong Green dialect, but that's what it means." The term Ning for Hmong Green dialect means horses. The term Ning for a Hmong White dialect means humans. So all this time, the people outside of the Green Village thought that they were eating the meat of old and sick humans when they were actually just eating the meat of old and sick horses. The people from the Green Village never understood why people hated them so much just for eating horses until now. The White Village had mistaken one word because they misunderstood its meaning. That is the story of Hmong Zhuo Na Ning, Hmong Green Cannibals.
Thank you for listening to Mix in the Dark. I am your host, Mai Ying. Mix in the Dark is available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast series. If you have a story that you would like to share, please send it to mixinthedark@gmail.com. If there's a story that you really enjoyed, feel free to hit up my tip jar on Venmo. Just search Mix in the Dark on the business tab.